Midwest Guys presents Gotham Watch.
Yay, Gotham!
Tell Sal it's over. The guns are bought. The killing room is waiting. He doesn't know it, but he's a dead man. On second thought, I'll tell him myself.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 4 Midwest Guys Presents Gotham Watch. Today we'll be reviewing Prisoners. With me today is Mr. Brian Ankenbauer.
What's up?
And my brother Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
All right, guys, how are you guys doing today? Doing all right?
Yep,
doing
good.
Good.
All right, so let's get into this episode of Gotham. I think we start off with this one, and we kind of they do the prison montage, so to speak, with Gordon. So we kind of see his life, and what we come find out to know is apparently protective custody.
Yeah, he's in there for, what, 7 weeks?
Something like that. He's kind of going through the routines.
Yeah, goes to bed, does his job of the laundry.
Gets up.
Yeah.
Runs around the yard. He's doing laps.
Yeah, just trying to pass the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do his time, as he says. And then after that, we're introduced to the, the warden.
I don't quite recall his name.
So
warden's fine.
And the warden pretty much tells him,
warden douchebag.
Yeah, warden douchebag, because I don't remember his name.
Warden wants his cut of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's apparently worked with the former Commissioner Loeb and was part of the, I guess, his inner circle.
The corrupt.
Corruption.
Yeah, he even said, I'm doing this for Loeb. He wanted me to put you in the blah blah blah. Like, Loeb has still got connections somehow.
Yeah.
Still pulling the strings with him. I didn't quite grasp that. We haven't heard of Loeb since last season, right?
Yeah.
Right. Or the beginning of this one or whatever. But yeah. Turns out that that he's no longer, they're gonna take him out of the protective custody that he's been in and send him, I think it was F Wing.
Yep. Refer to it as like the World's End or something.
Yeah, the World's End Gen Pop.
Yeah. You either get out of here by parole or you get out of here in a
body bag.
And there's not much in between.
And he said no one gets on parole.
Yeah, they even asked him, like, are you thinking of filing for parole or anything? He's like, nope, you're going to the World's End. Fun for you.
So, yeah, obviously you see some corruption. Like, there's a guy saying, I paid for this cell, and he's being kicked out of his comfy cell with a TV and the amenities, I guess, so to speak. And, obviously, the warden kind of rules the roost, so to speak, but there is one prison guard who, I guess, is still an upstanding guy.
One
guy in the whole place. And actually,
either that or he just really hated his boss.
It might be a combination of both. It might be, he can't stand what he sees, and he's actually helping Gordon. Actually ends up helping Gordon. Do you guys like that element of having that one good guy left in the place, so to speak, I guess? Or
I don't know. I didn't really care for this episode a whole bunch. I didn't feel it was needed. Like, all of it was needed. Like, it went into a lot of detail.
Yeah.
Like, trying to set up characters that we aren't going to see anymore.
Yeah, you get to see Death Flag Puck or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not going to die in here.
Yeah, it didn't make sense the way,
technically, it didn't.
It didn't.
He was out for 5 minutes. It's not the same thing.
It didn't make sense the way they ran this thing up. Like, they're like, they introduced the warden and what a ruler he was, and they introduced this guy, what a good guy he is, and Puck and this other guy, and then
yeah, and then he's out. There's a lot of setup, not only in this episode but in the previous episode to get here, and it's like there's no payout really. Mm-hmm. Like, it just transitions to him going back into Gotham with Falcone's help, and then possibly trying to find the guy who set him up, and it really transitioned through the entire thing way too quickly.
It went really, really fast, and it was like, but I guess the episodes went really fast, but time-wise for the show, it's been 6 or 7 weeks, right?
Well, it's been seven weeks for this episode, and then
And the other one went fast, too.
Yeah, because the other one was, what, 3 to 6 months, like, for his trial?
At least, yeah, because they showed the trial and him being convicted all within one montage, and it was seemed like at least 6 months had passed because Bruce, the previous episode, Bruce got beat up and his wounds had all healed.
By the time his, sentence heals up fine.
Yeah, so...
So in two episodes, we've almost gone...
Almost a year.
Yeah, 8 months, well, a year.
Yeah, because she announced she's pregnant, you know, a few episodes ago, and now... Well,
yeah,
she lost the baby, but still,
supposedly.
So it's been at least 9 months up to this point, at least in the timeline.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of Falcone coming to the rescue? I didn't expect to see him back. I thought he was.
To be honest, I thought it was like, I guess it's an easy way of kind of having an end to the corrupt prison system, but it kind of seems unnecessary beyond that. Like, it really just seems kind of like, oh, well, let's bring him here just to make the plot work, sort of thing.
Because I had actually forgotten about him. until they brought him back, I was like, oh, yeah, he is still alive.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was still alive, but he was leaving town, so all of a sudden he's back in town.
Yeah, he was, like, retiring and kind of getting out of it and just, you know.
He was retiring and going to Florida, is what
he
said.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, now Bullock is meeting him in a coffee shop in Gotham.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if this, what tie-in could they possibly use him for? Is this a one and done, or do you think this is going to be another complication down the road?
I actually wouldn't be surprised if it is a one and done. Like,
yeah.
To be honest, so. Like, unless they want to throw him in for another story arc, I can't imagine them really using it for anything beyond just kind of a plot device sort of character.
Yeah, I really think it's going to be a one and done. He was never really a villain in this show.
He was an antagonist for, like, Mooney and Penguin sort of thing.
Right. But he was more about law and everything else than he was about actually being a criminal, like a villain.
In a very skewed way.
He was kind of a lawful evil sort of character.
He was a criminal.
Yeah.
But he was a criminal that respected the law and wanted everybody else to respect the law.
There was a system in place he wanted to uphold.
Yes.
I would say he was the darker. If there were shades of gray, he's definitely the darker shade of gray you can have,
I don't know. Like, he definitely wanted there to be order, but he also wanted to be, you know, profit him. And he was more than happy for that, to kill people or, you know, go through unlawful things.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely not a good character by any means.
Is it just me? I don't remember him parting on good terms, though, with Gordon and Bullock necessarily, though.
Well, they did, remember, because they ran away from the group.
Yeah.
Together.
Okay.
And then, because it was Selena and that group that were chasing after him.
Hmm.
Versus, you know, Bullock and Gordon and...
Okay, yeah. All right, so I guess I don't think he really owed him anything, necessarily. Well, maybe he did.
Didn't really owe him, but remember, he knew Jim's dad.
That's right, yeah.
And he gave him that knife.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's one of those, like, family-friend kind of things, so I'm going to help you out because you're so-and-so's son. And
right. I was wondering, because I was thinking about things, like, okay... It was literally out of the blue when they showed Bullock talking to him, and they showed him, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not so much a plot twist as much as it is just, let's throw this back in there, because that kind of makes the plot work.
I really thought when they were doing that, I really thought he was talking to Butch.
Yeah, I kind of did, too.
Either that, or they brought Fish back or some shit.
No.
Not yet.
They would have shown that, but this was, like, because you could tell it was somebody big in the booth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, he's talking to Butch. Yeah. He's going to get Butch to help. And then it was like...
It actually kind of would have made more sense in some ways, wouldn't it?
I would have thought so.
That's why I'm thinking there might be something more to him. Like, we're going to see him down the line. Maybe this is how he reestablishes himself as the king of the criminals again. I don't know. I don't know.
Like, I just don't see them going through the trouble of it. But then again, they went through a lot of trouble for this setup, and they haven't done a lot.
Well, you know, we still have Harvey Dent, kind of. They don't really show him. But he is out there, and Falcone is...
Wait, because he talked on the phone with him. Yeah. Harvey then said he's going to look into it, but he's not going to press any issues.
But
Bullock was upset.
But Dent's, Dent's main rival when he's still Harvey Dent before he becomes Two-Face is taking down Falcone, and that's how he gets the acid splashed on
his face. Yeah, but at the same time, you can kind of replace Falcone with kind of any generic gangster.
You could. I'm just...
like any form of organized crime, really.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if they're bringing him back because eventually we're going to see Fish back, obviously. We've heard the rumors.
Well, either that, or you could really have Butch even being a stand-in for Falcone in that storyline without it being much of a
mystery. I agree. I'm just wondering. So, the other half of this episode, we deal with Penguin and his father and his new family.
Mm-hmm.
His stepmother, stepsister, and stepbrother, all somewhat wicked.
Yeah. Well, they all kind of just want the money. Yeah. And they don't want to be written out of the will, which is still seems kind of weird that that's the extent it would go. It's like, you were going to be in the will, but now I actually have a blood relative. You get shit.
Yeah, and he even...
Seems a bit hyperbolic until he actually says it.
Yeah, and she's, like, listening in the whole time, obviously, and just fueling their fire. But right from the get-go, she's constantly trying to figure out a way to get rid of Penguin.
Yeah.
And whether she uses her own daughter, she throws herself on top of Penguin, Penguin actually slips away.
That was actually quite amusing. It was just kind like,
of a funny moment. Yeah, it was like, get a hold of yourself, woman. Dear Lord. Yeah.
Which kind of makes you question, like, how well did that programming work in that scenario?
Out of this whole thing with the family that goes on, and obviously eventually he dies because they're trying to poison Penguin, and he ends up drinking the stuff and dying.
Yeah, foaming at the mouth, sort of out. Like, what was it, acid or something?
Something. I would assume some sort of poison.
I would assume it would be acid because the son, actually, she looks at the bottle and she goes...
Yeah, like, he tips it over.
Like, just nods his head, and so he kind of tips it onto the floor so it spills. And as soon as it hits the rug, it starts...
Smoking. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But... out of all of this, the one scene that I did like was the tailor scene, where his father's making the suit for Penguin. And when he's doing that, there's one key element there. He pulls out an eyeglass piece.
Yeah.
Which is just that round eyeglass piece on a chain. And that is something, if any of you guys remember from even the like 1960s Batman series. Yeah,
it's a classic part of the Penguin.
It's part of Penguin's repertoire. So I was like, Easter egg.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're using it too heavily like in some of the modern takes on the Penguin. But yeah, in the definitely old ones, it's a big part of it, or at least the costume.
Well, and that's where you can tell that's where he gets that upper class stuff from his father, all the talk. Because when they talk and he's like, the suit makes the man.
For our casual youth.
So. Yeah, you know, like he was just talking about how to present yourself. I mean, that's... So, yeah, I can see where the Penguin gets his stuff from. It was just one of those things, and I don't know.
I don't know about you guys, but do you think that they killed him off too early? Once again, it felt rushed.
Yeah, I do. I think they killed it off too early.
Like, I would have seen this maybe next episode. I could send... one more episode.
To be honest, actually, the Penguin family scene was kind of the highlight of the episode for me. Like, it was actually the more interesting sort of dynamic. Mm-hmm. Actually, I would have enjoyed seeing it for maybe another episode or so, before they actually killed him off.
Yeah.
Because, once we go into, like, a lot of setup, I mean, in this case, you even have, Rubens as, like, playing the father and the cameo sort of thing. And it's just done, like, within an episode or so. Like,
it's
a lot of setup for not really a lot of payout.
What do you think, Brian? Do you think they going too quick with
it? Oh, yeah, it definitely went too fast. Like, I'm also curious to see how this is going to play out where Penguin wasn't in the will.
Yeah, now he is. He said he was going to put him in it, but he never got that.
Yeah, so how is that going to play out now? Because that's how we thought he was going to have the big...
If I have to guess, he's going to kill the rest of them.
I think he's gonna snap.
Hear that? Yeah, or he has some sort of legal battle and just snaps on everyone.
No. I think this is gonna be. He's just snapping.
This is how he reverts back.
When we saw him at the very end of the episode screaming.
Yeah,
I really think that he's just gonna snap and kill them all.
Yeah, and there's hear that, or he actually realizes they intentionally killed him rather than him dying off naturally.
Yeah, I think that's what's gonna happen because even in the preview for there's like a mirror scene and it looks like the old Penguin looking back at him through the mirror kind of deal. So yeah, I think this is the
Do you think they're going to go through that same like Riddler dynamic they went with like earlier in the season?
Maybe
where it's like
very,
a split personality talking to
himself. Yeah, because he's been reprogrammed. Yeah. So this is the reemergence of the old Penguin, and I think he's going to take a little bit of the new with him. You know, as you know, he'll take the eyepiece. I think he'll take the money. He'll somehow something will happen where he's got all the money and he's got all the power. You know, and he'll use that, and that's what he'll build his new empire with. Maybe not necessarily criminal this time. He'll have criminal elements, but it'll be funded by his father's fortune.
You don't think he's just going to start like learn to become a tailor and just live out the days?
I think because at least here's what I'm hoping all of this is that we actually get the aristocrat side of the Penguin. This is where he learns to become the more high society villain.
Well, that's what I don't understand. I was like, that's why I think that Rubens needed to be around for a little bit longer.
Yeah,
so he could learn some more stuff from him. You know, like you were talking about the aristocrat part. Mm-hmm. Because now it's just basically a couple days.
Yeah, like at most it gives him something to aspire to. Like it's an idealized image in some ways.
And the other thing I was going to ask you guys, what did the... So it says 7 weeks later. So did Penguin meet his dad and he's been hanging around him for 7 weeks?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
If you go by... I think if you go by the whole Gordon thing, in the whole episode, I think the timeline is the same in both.
Okay, so Penguin got 7 weeks with his dad.
Hmm.
That's my guess.
Okay.
But
because when they talked about it, he was like,
it's not very clearly stated, though.
The kid
it almost seems like he's been there for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's like, we just found out he's a murderer and he was running a criminal underground. Like, I actually thought that was a great scene. He's like, you told me you had issues, but you never told me you were this good at it.
Yeah, he's like, you never told me you were famous.
Yeah.
He was almost impressed by it. It was kind of amusing.
I actually thought when he said he confessed that he said his father killed himself, I actually thought he was going to confess and say he's the one who killed him.
Yeah.
I kind of had that.
And he said, the people in our family
have that
problem.
Yeah.
He said, I didn't have that problem, but I think you do.
Dark thoughts.
Like you may relate to his, illness more than I do, sort of thing.
Yeah. So, definitely some foreshadowing there going on, and it gives you a little bit of something to grasp, I guess, a little bit of a backstory.
Either that, or setting up for Penguin becoming his own, bat cave in the basement sort of thing.
Well, his father kind of instills, he says, I want you to keep this house exactly the same, and I want you to
part of the
Gotham. Yeah, and then you see history,
which is kind of part of
You see him sleepwalking to his dad's office, or to, Penguin's grandfather's.
That outfit.
Yeah, that was actually amazingly funny.
Yeah, the Scrooge.
Maybe that's Gotham's twist. Like, it's a different universe. Penguin becomes a superhero.
Yeah.
He fights crime as the Dark Penguin.
Yeah. Large man.
Sorry, couldn't resist. We were talking about that off screen. You thought... Go ahead and say it. You thought every time Paul Rubens, you said...
Yeah, every time he did the dramatic pause after every one of his lines, I really thought he was going to do the Pee Wee Herman laugh. And it was just like, okay. Like, it was just felt off to me. But then, they were sitting at the dinner table.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, do you believe in ghosts? And Penguin was like, I do believe in ghosts. I've seen them, blah, blah, blah. And then Rubens goes like, oh, well, we have ghosts here. I thought for sure they were going to say Large Marge.
All right. Okay, guys. Well, let's just go right into final thoughts and grades. I'll give you the honor of the first final thought, sir.
I'd probably give the episode about a C. I actually enjoyed the Penguin family dynamic. I actually thought Rubens as his father played the role really well. But pretty much throughout the entire episode, it's a lot of setup from the previous episode and really just kind of skips over it. Like, it just really speed through what you more or less just spent an entire episode, if not more, actually building up. And it just kind of rushes over everything, and there's all these loose ends. I hope it ties in by the end of the season. I have no idea if it will, or if it's just going to create more or go into a weirder tangent sort of thing.
Yeah.
So like a C for me.
Okay. I'll give it a C+, only because of the Penguin, kind of like you, Aaron, just because of the family dynamic, seeing the Easter egg, which would be for me the little eyepiece, which was kind of like a big thing, and the instilling of the aristocratic values, maybe hopefully into Penguin. So I'll give it a C plus from that perspective. But the Gordon thing in jail, kind of parts of it. Okay, I'll be honest. I if it was just Gordon in jail, I probably would have given this thing a D. Really, the Penguin thing saved it for me. I don't know. Brian, what do you think?
I think we're all in agreement, so I'm going to give it a C as well.
Mm-hmm.
This episode didn't do anything for me. It didn't really, aside from the Penguin part, it didn't really progress anything. Gordon could have broke out of just regular jail, not prison, and yeah, we'd have been in the same spot we're in right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hopefully next week gets a little better.
Yeah, hopefully. So, where can you find us, 4 Midwest Guys? Well, you can find us on iTunes by typing in the number 4 Midwest Guys in the search part of the iTunes, and make sure you hit subscribe. Also, you can find us on Twitter at the number 4 Midwest Guys. We continue Twitter Quest 2016. Mr. Rankenbauer, how are we doing on Twitter Quest?
We're up over 800 on the main page, and yep, I'm up over 1900 on...
Wow, so you're pushing the 2K almost.
Almost 2000 mark.
Sweet, sweet. And where can people find you, sir, on Twitter?
They can find me at AnkZone, AnkZone.
All right. You can find me at BWilly1977 as well. Love to hear from you guys. Also, you can find us on Facebook.com/the4MidwestGuys. We are also now on a limited basis on YouTube. We're starting to release most of our podcasts going forward. We'll be on YouTube as well as the Podbean, which you can also find us on podbean.com, actually. Same thing, number 4 Midwest Guys. Just type it into the search engine. And you can also find us on email at number4midwestguys@gmail.com. So plenty of ways to get out there, reach out to us. If you guys have questions about Gotham, we do Gotham, we do Rebels, we have the Marvel DC Kings, which is pretty much the whole superhero genre on TV and movies. If you have any questions whatsoever, send them to us via Twitter, email, Facebook, doesn't matter, reach out to us, because we would love to hear your questions, and we already have on Marvel DC Kings answered quite a few questions.
Yep.
And we don't mind going in depth either. I love that part of that show. So reach out to us, all right? Okay, well, Aaron, thanks for joining us, sir.
Yeah, not a problem.
And Mr. Rankenbauer, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. And saying we'll see you same bat time, same bat channel.